It is great to be in the presence of the Lord, isn't it? And we're going to look at a couple of promises of God from His Word in a moment, and then we're going to act upon it. But God's promises are eternally true. Our God is an unchanging God. I, the Lord, do not change, is what He says. And so His character is always the same. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I used to love looking through the Bible for promises that I could take hold of because I knew they were true. And I found lots and lots of them. But I came across a couple of promises linked together one day which I found really challenging and very encouraging. Well, they come from Matthew chapter 18 and verses 19 and 20. You probably have heard them before. So Matthew chapter 18 and verses 19 and 20. If two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it'll be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I among them. Marvellous promises, aren't they? But the more I thought about those, I thought, they are really linked together. And they're promises that are true in every situation, but especially when His people gather together. And you look at, first of all, that first promise. When two or three gather together in His name, and the promise, there am I among them. Now, what's got to happen for that to have the presence of the Lord here? Have you got to have 200 people? No, we've got less than that, probably, and He's here. You've got to have 2,000 or 2 million for God to turn up. Now, does He say, that's only a small crowd, I won't bother turning up tonight? No, it doesn't say that. He doesn't say, might be present. He says that He will be present. He doesn't say, when the worship gets to a certain level in decibels, that's the time when the Lord comes. There's nothing in the Bible about the level of decibels that are needed for God to turn up. Is it when people feel my presence that I turn up? No, it has nothing to do with feelings. These are promises from God, quite independent of feelings. Rather, you find it here as a declaration. And you and I can say tonight, a declaration of the promise of God, the Lord is here. Happy to say that with me? The Lord is here. It doesn't matter one iota whether you feel He's here or not. The promises of God are never dependent upon what you feel. They're dependent upon His veracity and the fact that He is authentic. What He says is really true. So the Lord is present with us. But the second part of that promise, and it comes in the previous verse, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. So what's the proviso? Two or three people gathering together in His name. In other words, they're wanting to be open to Him, to glorify Him in every sort of way. That's the proviso, gathering in His name, agreeing on earth about anything they ask. And the promise is from the Lord, it'll be done for them by my Father in heaven. It will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Not it might possibly be done, or it might partially be done. It might be done if I get around to doing it. That's not what the Lord is saying. And He doesn't say, gotcha. You thought I was fair dinkum, didn't you? But I'm not. He never says that. He says, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. So those promises are always true. And that's why I feel confident when I come into any Christian group, knowing the Lord is present with us. Whether it's two people gathered together, as I said, one of the most powerful healing services I've ever involved in, only had about four people in it. But what God did in that particular night in bringing healing impacted on many, many people around the world, what He did in those and through those people. So that's the reality tonight. The Lord is present with us, whether we feel that presence or not. And I think when you see God's promise, you've got to say, yes, I believe them. It's good. But you also got to have faith to act upon them. I love reading that little illustration of Blondin the tightrope walker. He used to string a tightrope across the Niagara Falls, amongst other places. And then he'd go across, and then he'd wheel a bag of potatoes across, and do all sorts of things like that. And one of the aristocracy from England came with all his helpers and all that. And Blondin said to him, do you believe that I could wheel you across? He said, yeah, for sure I could. But he said, why don't you hop in, into the wheelbarrow? He said, oh, why don't that privilege for myself? How about my friend here? So he sort of believed that he could, but wouldn't commit himself into it. And I think faith is an active thing. I was looking in John's Gospel, where it talks about believing into. When John talks about believing, it's believing into. It's something that's active. In other words, we hear the promises of God, we say, yeah, that's true. We also need to act upon them. And I want to do that tonight as we do it in every situation. In other words, we're going to act upon the promise of his presence, he's with us, but also act upon the promise of his provision. If they ask in my name, then the Father in heaven will do it for them. Now, it may be sometimes when we get around to praying for one another in groups and things like that, we see some wonderful instant answers to prayer. And I love it when it's like that. If someone comes in almost on crutches and runs out, that's great. I love seeing that. Or someone comes in with a tumour of some sort and is gone by the end of the meeting. I love that. I love all those sort of things. It's great to see instant answers to prayer. And we could give you examples of hundreds of them over the 50 years of the healing ministry in St. Andrew's Cathedral in Sydney. But also there can be progressive healing taking place. Something may begin in a meeting and then gets more and more progressively fulfilled as time goes on. We had a lady come in the service and she was there over a number of months, right at the very back, obviously very disturbed, and as time went on got closer and closer. I didn't know who she was very much. She didn't want to sort of get introduced to people. Then one night she came up and she said, you may not realise, but I'm a medical practitioner. I'm a doctor. She said, when I came here, I was in a really, really bad way emotionally. And I've been sitting under the ministry of the Word of God. I've been getting prayer. And God has healed me, and I'm starting work next week as a medical practitioner. I like that sort of healing too. When it's progressive, you know it's something God has done. And she was giving glory to God for the wonderful answer to prayer. She could now go back and continue that vocation she had in medical practice. Or maybe sometimes you get some prayer and having been prayed, you don't feel much. And then you go home and perhaps the next morning you wake up healed. Or a bit later on and all of a sudden, you've been healed. I love the story where a fellow came to see me from the country, drove down 4 hours to get down to where we were. And he came to get some prayer for healing. And I think he got there about 3 o'clock. He had to leave at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Drive back another 4 or 5 hours to get home. And he said, look, I really believe that if you lay your hands upon me, then I believe that I'll be healed. And so I thought, it's now 10 to 4. He's got to go in 10 minutes. Not giving me much time to say anything or do anything. And so I said, well, can we pray? You've got 10 minutes to go. He said, yeah, would you pray for me? So I just sat him down in what we call the blue room at the Healing Ministry Centre in Newtown. The walls are painted blue. And we've got a cane room. It's not where we cane people. It had cane furniture in it. So, you know, that's the places we ministered. And I just laid hands upon one on his shoulder, one on the top of his head, and just prayed for him. We walked outside, and he drove off back to the country. His wife came down the next weekend for a seminar. And she said, you know, my husband's been healed. I said, no. She said, he's more like a 17-year-old than a 70-year-old. He's gone back to work. I said, well, that's great, because I knew him as a landscape painter. And I thought, sitting down at his easel and doing portraits or landscapes, because he's very good at both those. And that's marvellous. So I said, he's back to his painting again. Is he? Oh, no, 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 she said. Remember, on a farm. And he's had all these paving stones to lay, and so he's packed them all up in his utility and driven them down to where they had to be laid, and he's laid all those now, And he also had to shift a fridge on the back of his ute, and he's done that. Oh, he's so healed. And I thought, well, that's pretty good. I said, when did it happen? The morning after, when he woke up after he'd been to see you. And I thought that was marvellous. And so he came down all the way from the country to come down to the healing service on the Wednesday night. He got there about 5 o'clock. He said, I've just come down. I just want to be in the service and thank God in the middle of the service, not to all the people, but praise God for the healing that I had, and then I'm going home. And so that took place. And in the little bit of time that we had, he said, you know what happened when you prayed for me, don't you? I said, no, I don't know what happened out in that blue room. He said, when you laid your hands upon me, your fingers on my head were like hot electrodes. I just felt all this heat going right through me. I didn't say to him, brother, all I felt was a sense of panic. You've only given him 10 minutes to pray, and then you're off. And I didn't feel a thing. I didn't need to feel a thing, but God brought wonderful healing to him. So healing can be delayed as well. Well, I was asked in 2008 to speak at a Pentecostal group in Port Macquarie, where we live. And they had a lot of people, about 80 people, I think, who were involved in small groups. And they decided to invite all the leaders to come together that they might get some teaching on prayer. And so they invited me to come along. And so I spoke to them about prayer, talking about the promise of God and talking about these two promises in particular. And so we did that. I taught about the promises of God's presence with us and the presence of God's provision for people who ask in faith. And I said, okay, you believe that? They said, yes, we believe it. I said, well, let's act upon it. Which is, I didn't think they quite expected that from an old Anglican canon in the Pentecostal church. You know, you don't really act upon things in the Anglican church sometimes. This church obviously does. You know, you just know it's true, but you don't do anything about it. I said, this is what we're going to do. I want you to split up into groups of four and no more than four. And I want you to just get up and find three other people that you're comfortable with and then just sit together in a group of four, and then I'll tell you what to do. And so there's a bit of hullabaloo as they moved around, and we finished up in groups of four. It might have been one group with a group of three, but certainly no more than four. And I said, this is what we're going to do now. We're going to spend 5 minutes, and in that 5 minutes we're going to pray, get one person to share what their need is, and then we're going to get the other three people to pray for them. And that'll take a totality of 5 minutes. So you don't talk for a long time. You just share briefly what the area of need is in your own life and the life of a family member. It doesn't have to be the most important and most personal thing in your life, but whatever you feel comfortable to share. And then they'll hear that and they'll pray for you. And hopefully the three people will pray for you, and it'll all be done within 5 minutes. I saw a few looks of unbelief there, but I continued anyway. And I said, after that, I'm going to say, right, we're going to move on now to the second person. And I'm going to be like the policeman out the front, getting you to do that. Because we're acting the promise of God. He's present. He'll hear the prayers. And the promise is that if two or three gather together, that those prayers will be answered as they agree together in the Lord. And so we'll do that with person number two. We'll do it with person number three. We'll do it with person number four. So it'll take probably only about half an hour altogether for that to happen. Well, they were used to praying together, but not in groups so much. And so they decided they'd go ahead with it. And so I just was like the policeman out the front, making sure there are no more than four in any group. And I said, righto, we're going to start right now. And remember, one person shares briefly, and then the others start to pray. At the end of 5 minutes, I'll blow the whistle, or I'll jump up and down, or bellow into this. And then it'll be time to move on to the second person. But don't go over. Every person's got to have the same amount of time. And so we did it after 5 minutes. We started on the next one. I warned them not to speak for a long time and make sure every person who wanted to pray would pray. And so we did that over the half hour, and all the people there got prayed for, which is pretty good, isn't it? You don't get many opportunities when you're prayed for about 3 or 4 minutes, is it? By three people. So that was good. Okay, that was good. They settled in with that. And then I said these words, okay, before we go to supper, let's see what God has done already, because God answers prayer, as I said, sometimes instantly, sometimes in progressive stages, and sometimes after some delay. But there may be people who have received some sort of blessing here tonight or already. So let's see what God has done. So I said, okay, is there anyone here tonight who received prayer tonight who feel that God has done something already in answer to prayer? And so a lady sitting over here in that sort of area put up a hand and said, what's he done for you? She said, I came to the service tonight with a recovering from a broken ankle. You probably saw me hobble in. And I've been sitting here with pain. And that's what I got prayed for in my little group. I felt the pain go, and I began to flex my ankle, and I found that I can actually stand up on it easily. And then she said, actually, I can walk on it. And then she said, I think I can run on it. And with that, she sort of was standing up, and then she started to run. Round she went, in her area, perhaps a bit bigger than this. Round she went. That was lap one. Round she went, and that was lap two. I said, well, thank you, sister. You can take your seat now. And so she was rejoicing, and you know, people said, oh, that's wonderful, that's wonderful. I said, anybody else? And there's an older lady sitting down the front. I said, what's she done for you? She said, well, I've had locked, frozen shoulders for years. I really can't get my arms up above my shoulders. She said, as I was prayed for tonight, I just felt my shoulders get unfrozen, as it were. And she said, I'm just praising the Lord. Puts her arms up and raises them around. And again, we said, praise the Lord, you know, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And then came a fellow, said, yeah, I'd like to share. He said, I came to the service. He'd driven a long way to get there, actually. He said, I came to the service because I'd been so depressed and so down. And he said, as I was prayed for, I just felt all that depression lift. And I felt so refreshed and a new man, ready to go on with the Lord. Well, it certainly wasn't like that when he came in, but he certainly left that sort of way. So again, we praise the Lord. And we didn't have time to go on with others, but we discovered there was a lady there who was facing an operation for glaucoma. This was probably on a Thursday, the following Wednesday, having an operation for glaucoma. And she went to see a doctor for the final tests before she had the operation. He said, you had glaucoma. And there is nothing there at all. You don't need an operation. There's nothing there. Pretty good, isn't it? Pretty good. So we only found out about that later on, and we rejoiced individually, I suppose. You can actually read about that on the website. Put in Jim Hoblick in Google, and it'll finish up with that Pentecostal website, and you read a bit of that story. Well, it's good that those things happen in Pentecostal churches over there in Port Macquarie, isn't it? Yeah, it's good that God is in those places, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Could he do something like that here? I mean, this is Anglican, isn't it? Isn't it, Peter, that in the Anglican Church we do everything decently and in order? I didn't hear a reply from Peter. He's present with us tonight. And I believe he wants to bring blessing. I know that a lot of people have said they've received blessing already. That's what the Word of God does, doesn't it? The Word of God brings light. The Word of God brings healing. And Jim and Carol just happen to be here being part of the process, but it's God who does it. And he does it through his Word by his Spirit. And we get blessed. We've been part of what's been happening. It's been happening to us as well. So what we're going to do in a few moments is to get you to do that, to... I won't say split into four, it's very painful to split into four. But to get into groups of four with people you feel comfortable with. And I think we might do that first of all. And let me say, before we do that, you're free. You're not bound to do anything. I'd love for you to be everybody in a group of no more than four. You don't have to share a need. You don't have to. But you'll miss out on some blessing by not sharing that need. When it comes to praying, two of the three people might feel really open to pray, and the third one might feel the best hasn't it. Well, don't put pressure on, but make time available for three people to pray. Okay? So you'll hear it briefly, and then give opportunity for three people to pray. There's nothing wrong with having a time of quietness and silence in a group. Nothing wrong with that. But take advantage of the fact that you can share forth a need which God is going to hear, and people are going to agree with you that God might do something about it. And then, as we said, we'll just move on to each person. So what I'll do is to get you in a moment to do that, to move in those groups of four. You can probably move. This is one of the great blessings of having a church that has movable seats, beside as well as movable feasts, so you can have movable seats. And you can move around and get in little groups of four. And then when you are settled there, I'll then become the policeman out in front, or shall I say spiritual director. I'll be the spiritual director out the front, and I'll tell you what we're going to do, and then I'm going to monitor every 5 minutes until everybody is prayed for. But make sure no group is more than four. Okay? Well, why don't we just have a little bit of music while people move into their groups of four. So if you'd like to stand and move around, and groups no more than four.